Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Well, we went quite lengthy on the praise and worship, but didn't it go by fast? When time isn't an issue, that means the glory of God is manifesting. Because time just doesn't matter anymore. Amen? Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. It says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Today, I want to talk about what we need to do to step into this new season of breakthrough. This new season, I'm going to call it, of outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Not only here at Living Waters Chapel, but for the body of Christ as well. How many of you know it's not just us four and no more? God's doing something in the whole body of Christ, amen? He's willing to move wherever he's allowed to move, amen? If we're going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in this next powerful move of God, there is something that we must be aware of. There is something we must correct in our life. The Lord made it very clear to me in my time of prayer this week, preparing for this message. As I was praying yesterday morning about what to talk about today, because I usually start to get an idea what I'm preaching on Thursday, maybe Friday, but now what's been happening is I've been feeling like pressing into prayer, and I get it on Saturday. So I'm like, Lord, you're really cutting this close. You better, you know, woo. But I'm obeying the Holy Spirit, pressing in, right? And as I was praying yesterday morning, this is what the Holy Spirit made clear to me, that this passage in Hebrews 12 talks about weights and sin, which so easily ensnares us. The weights hinder us or slows us down in our walk with God. Weights are not necessarily sins, but they slow us down in our walk with God. And then it talks about the sins which so easily ensnares, or they believe King James says, if I'm not mistaken, besets us, or sets us on the wrong course away from God, away from the will of God for our life. The Holy Spirit made it very clear to me what to preach about today in connection to him desiring to move corporately and personally in our life. Now, the weight and the sin that he wants us all to deal with, this is what I'm going to talk about today. Are you ready? Here we go. Last week I talked about what? Overcoming distractions, right? Well, the Holy Spirit spoke this to me, that he wants me to talk about something very specific. He wanted me to zoom in on that. And he said, the distraction of self. The distraction of self. The title of this message is simply, the distraction of self. Again, so I talked about just in general, overcoming distractions. But again, I'm zooming in and I'm focused in on, remember, this is all about stepping into that outpouring, stepping into the glory, into the miraculous, stepping into miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm zooming in on how being focused on ourself, selfishness, being self-centered, being prideful will hinder us personally from going deeper, come on, with him spiritually in experiencing this next move of God. Hebrews 12:2 gives us the solution to breaking free from those weights, breaking free from those sins. And it simply says this. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto. So the key in the zoomed out view, if you want to zoom out, the big picture is this, is to stay focused on Jesus, stay focused on our Heavenly Father, stay focused on the kingdom of God, stay focused on the Word of God. That's like the big picture. Now, Pastor James is going to reel it in. We're going to get deeper. Go to Colossians 3, 1 through 2. Colossians 3. Well, didn't you go there the last three sermons? Yep, I sure did. Going to go there again. I want to keep this before you, and I'm going to show you and point out something else, a different dimension here. Colossians 3, 1 through 2, it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. So seek those things where above, where Christ is. Where's he? Where's Christ at right now? Where's Jesus at right now? He's in heaven. He's in heaven. So it's telling us seek those things where Jesus is. So we're supposed to have a heavenly mindset. It says set your mind, your heart, your thoughts on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, the last time I checked, we are still on this earth. Can you confirm that, anybody? Yes. Yeah, we're still on this earth. We are instructed not to set our mind, our thoughts, or focused on ourself. Or being self-centered. Say self-centered. We can't. There's too much self-centeredness. There's too much distraction of self in us. Focusing on self, making ourselves an idol in our thought life is forbidden according to this passage, right? It says, don't set your mind on things on the earth. That's why it causes negative emotions and negative fruit in our life. If we're going to tap into the anointing, if we're going to tap into the ability and the power of the Holy Spirit, our thoughts must be focused on things above, on spiritual things, connected to God, connected to the Word of God, connected to, come on, the kingdom of God. Jesus in his earthly ministry, what did he preach? The kingdom of God. Say kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. What's interesting, listen to this now. Psalm 119:89, it says the word of God is settled forever in heaven. So the word of God then is heavenly from God himself. So we are commanded to seek and to set our minds or our thoughts on the word of God, because the word of God is settled forever where? In heaven. And we settle it on earth when we obey it, when we speak it, when we believe it in faith. Amen. The glory of God, the manifest presence of God, miracles, signs, and wonders, they are from heaven. They are spiritual. They are connected with heaven. And if we're going to experience any of those things, our thoughts and focus must be on God. They must be God-centered. They must be, come on, heaven-centered. Amen. We must maintain a spiritual mindset. Someone says, well, why haven't I ever seen this? Why don't this happen to me? Why doesn't this gold dust thing happen to me? Where's your mind at? You ever think about those things? Amen. Listen, here's the thing. You will never experience those heavenly blessings with an earthly or fleshly mindset. I read it before, but I watched a video recently about the Azusa Street Revival. Anybody know about the Azusa Street? Well, the leader who God used to kick that thing off, it said that he would, before this thing got kicked off, he was seen to be sitting in a chair with a box over his head. With a box over his head, praying in tongues, praying in English, and just crying out to God for a move of God. He had a box over his head because he didn't want to be aware of anything else around him. He didn't even want to be aware of himself. He set his mind and his focus on what? God and heavenly things. I'm talking about how to tap in to the miracles, signs, and wonders in the glory of God. Two actions are required for Christians to tap into the anointing, to tap into the miraculous ability and the power of the Holy Spirit. Number one, here we go. We must seek, and we must set our thoughts and focus on heavenly things. Say, seek and set. Seek and set. Come on, we seek those heavenly and spiritual things out in the Word of God and in prayer by asking, seeking, and knocking, asking for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, amen? Now, a lot of these things that have happened to me, these supernatural encounters in my life, angelic encounters, all these crazy signs and wonders, I'll be honest, are you ready for this? I asked for them. Yeah. Number one, I desired them. I would read the word and I said, God, your word is amazing. Wow, reading about all these miracles. I said, but God, now I just don't want to read about it. I want it in my life. And when that desire kept stirring and I pressed in like never before, boom, breakthrough happened. Now it feels like I'm in a flow of the supernatural because I seeked and I set my mind on things above. I asked, seeked, and knocked. Amen? We seek those heavenly or spiritual things out in the Word of God, like I said, and knocking. Oh, come on. There's got to be that invitation. Have you ever asked for miracles in your life? Have you ever asked for signs and wonders to happen? Come on. We need to start having radical prayers in our life. Amen? And once we find those things, once we find those things that we're seeking in the Word, once the Holy Spirit gives us revelation of spiritual things that He's stirring, that there's a desire stirring and He's leading it to us, then we are to set our mind, we are to set our heart, we are to set, come on, our focus, say focus. And thoughts on those things on a continual basis. Not forget about them, not just a fleeting thought, but we're to set our mind on them and continue to pursue them. Journal it. When the Holy Spirit gives you a revelation, I have a notebook. When I'm praying, and I have it with me most of the time when I'm praying, when He reveals something to me, I run and sit down, and I sat down. Something wild happened to me this week. I was praying, and I could feel the glory in the atmosphere get thicker. And I went down. He revealed something. I went and sat down, and I was right over here. I sat down, and I looked over here, and it looked like, you know, think of a dry erase board with a black marker, how a marker, the black mark. Like, I seen a black streak like an angel following me all the way to where I was sitting. I'm telling you, there is so much supernatural, so many, the kingdom of God wants to break out in your life. Amen. But you got to position yourself for it to break out. Today, I hope I'm stirring a hunger and a desire on the inside of you for these things. We got to have them. We were not created just to live a boring, natural life. We were created to operate in the supernatural. Amen? But you got to do it in the right way. You got to do it in the kingdom of God, not the illegal way through the occult and witchcraft, horoscopes and all that junk. Amen? So not just quick or fleeting thoughts, but rather a consistent, prolonged thought or meditation on those things in the Word, what the Holy Spirit reveals to you, and you don't give up praying and asking, seeking, and knocking. The knocking is a persistent. It's persistence. Until that door opens, don't stop knocking. Now listen to me. Here we go. Let's get a little deeper on this. Our mind, ready for this? If you're taking notes, you're going to want to write this down. Our mind is a spiritual portal. Our mind is a spiritual portal. Our mind, our thoughts, our heart is a spiritual gateway, a spiritual doorway. And in our thoughts, we are either opening that portal, that gate or that door to either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. Say, my mind, my heart is a spiritual portal. So now, here's the deal. That is based on our free will choice to decide what we choose to focus on. Oh, everything bad happens to me all the time. That's because you got your portal open up to the wrong kingdom and you're attracting more of that junk into your life. Close those doors and switch your thoughts. Focus on the kingdom. Focus on positive things. And then talk to me in about a week. Amen. You'll have a better week. Amen. On Friday night, Marianne and I came up to this church to pray and praise and worship in the sanctuary. And as we were doing that, as we were walking, I felt a mist on me, almost like walking through a fog, almost like it was raining, but like I could feel something on me, like a coat of something. All right? And so when the manifest presence of God, the glory of God starts to manifest in a place, we call it gold dust, glory dust. It's a sign and a wonder. Say sign and a wonder. It's a sign that points to God's presence, and it makes you wonder. don't know why. I don't know why God does it. I don't know why that stuff happens. And I don't know, but I want it. All I know is this. My whole heart was seeking God and calling out to him, praising and worshiping. And that happened. I wasn't seeking the devil. Are you following me? I was exalting Jesus, pressing into my Heavenly Father, and that stuff starts happening. But what stands out to me is what Marianne told me the next morning, yesterday. She said the entire time, now catch this, this is a key of what I'm talking about. Say, I'm listening. She said the entire time while praying in the sanctuary that night, she did not have one thought about herself. Nothing connected to any earthly thing. Her thoughts were completely on God, on Jesus, on heaven, on the Word of God. Come on. And spiritual things connected to the kingdom. Did you catch that? That's the key. That's the key right there. Focusing on heavenly things, spiritual things connected to God and the Word, things connected to heaven in our thought life. That is the key to breakthrough in the spirit realm, in the kingdom of God. The reason God instructs us to seek and set or focus our mind, our thoughts on heavenly things, is because of this. Because our mind and our soul is, come on, you're going to hear me say it a lot today, is a portal. Say portal. Is a portal that will open the door and give access to the Holy Spirit to take us higher spiritually, to be able to use us in a supernatural way in our life, to manifest healings, miracles, spiritual gifts, signs, and wonders. It comes down to this. We must be tuned into the right frequency of the kingdom of God. Amen? Focusing on self. Focusing on earthly limitations and earthly things will hinder the Holy Spirit from operating in your life. It will prevent divine appointments from coming to pass in your life because you won't even recognize them. You're not even aware. You're not even tuning in to what God is doing. There's no expectation. There's no excitement. There's no focus on anything with the kingdom of God. Come on, when you're focused on yourself. That we got too much self. Go to Psalm 121. This is what the Holy Spirit's trying to say. Hey, you want to flow in this next move? You got to get rid. You got to overcome. Come on. The distraction of self. Now look at this. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read the whole thing short. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The word of God, I want you to notice in that first verse, gives us a very important key how to tune in and how to focus to God, on God and his kingdom. Ready? The word of God tells us to look up. Look up. Lift up our eyes for a very, he tells us to look up, to lift up our eyes for a very special reason. We are to lift up our eyes for this reason, to shift our focus, to shift our thoughts on God. But not only that, but it's also to get our eyes off of self. And the natural realm. Did you catch that? Yes. Stop yourself. You got to stop yourself from falling into this trap of self-pity, this trap of discouragement. Our only valid help is from the Lord. He is our only true source of help. Amen? When you have a need in your life, when life seems overwhelming, look up and seek God. Seek and set your mind on heavenly things. Seek and set your mind. Once you seek, once you see what you're seeking, once you understand what you're seeking, set your mind on it. Don't let go. Amen? It's like on Top Gun. Anybody see Top Gun? Those two planes dogfighting. That radar seeking that other plane in front of them. And once it sees it, it locks in. It locks in. That's what your thought life needs to do. Hallelujah. When we keep looking down or even straight ahead, all we see are earthly limitations in this natural realm that will bring discouragement and negativity into our heart, negative emotions. It's the wrong focus. Say focus. But when we look up, the Holy Spirit gave me a revelation of this. Of when we look up, we look at the vast and endless sky. And all of a sudden we get inspired that nothing is impossible with a God who made all that. It's endless. It will be a reminder that with God, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. If God can create all of this, a vast heaven, he can help us in our seamless, hopeless situation. The sky is the limit. Say that with me. The sky is the limit. There is no limit as you look above this earthly plane. Look up. Jeremiah 17 tells us that trusting in the arm of flesh will bring a curse upon our life. But trusting in God will bring blessings in every area of our life. Constantly focusing on self and our limitations will hinder even earthly provision from coming into our life. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33. Jesus reminds us, he's basically saying this is a James Brandt version. Ready? Jesus reminds us to stop seeking the thing you need and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen? And then all of these things that you need will be added unto you. We have got to believe that and trust the process. Oh, say that with me. Say, I got to trust the process. But no, because we're too focused on self. Oh, self-help. We got to do it on our own. We don't even seek God. We're too focused on self. But God's saying, look, seek me first, seek my righteousness, and then ready? Trust the process. Just stay faithful to me, he's saying. Just stay faithful to me and just trust the process. Get your focus off of self and start looking up. Start seeking your Heavenly Father, who is your true provider, your true source of life on this earth. Jesus is the, come on, true vine. How many of you know there's many false vines out there that we plug into and you're not getting any nutrition and then you end up withering and die, it shrivel up, right? And you end up, what happens? You backslide from the Lord. No, get plugged into the true vine, Jesus. If we are seeking things instead of God, we are out of God's divine order. It must be done God's way for it to be blessed. Let me say that again. It must be done God's way for it to have God's blessing upon it. We have been conditioned. We have been taught by this entire, all of our entire life, in this twisted, perverted, evil world system, ready? To rely on self. Focus on self. That is the exact opposite of what the kingdom of God teaches. You do realize that, right? In fact, whatever the world teaches, sure enough, believe the opposite. Just like whatever a Democrat believes, just believe the opposite and you're in God's path. Seriously, when a Democrat starts to believe something or say something, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to go that way. They've proven they're not on God's side. But listen, don't allow focus on yourself to be a distraction and a hindrance to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. He wants to use you. But you need to be tuned into his frequency. Amen? Everything that Jesus did in his life, in his earthly ministry, was centered around obedience with his Heavenly Father and reaching out and ministering to people in need. Jesus, you could say it this way, ready? Jesus was very selfless. Jesus was very selfless, wasn't he? Focusing on self and having self-pity instead of on Jesus almost cost two people their healing miracle in the Word of God. two accounts in the Word of God. When I was writing this message, I said, Holy Spirit, show me this. Okay, distraction of self. Give me a couple accounts to share with the people. And two accounts came to my mind where two people almost missed out on their miracle because they were focused on self. They were focused on self-pity. Go to Acts chapter 3 with me real quick. Oh, 11:34. I have no regrets. That praise and worship was amazing. Now, Acts 3, 1 through 10, y'all know it, most of you, about the lame man that was healed at the beautiful gate. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, at the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple. He was looking for money. He was looking for handouts. This guy had some self-pity going on. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I have none." That's when the guy went, "Oh." Silver, well, what are you doing then? What are you bothering me for? I want money, right? No. "But what I do have, I give you." He had something a lot more important than money, amen? But what I do have, I give you. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder. There's a wonder right there, sign and a wonder. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This man was feeling sorry for himself in his crippled condition, and he was seeking only earthly help. But then his focus shifted. Peter got his attention, and he shifted. He was successful in shifting this man's focus to Jesus. Amen? And he received his miracle. Sometimes a hindrance to a healing or a miracle is simply this, the wrong focus. It could just be the wrong focus. An inward focus where you're focused on self all the time will hinder healing. It will hinder miracles. Your focus must be outward and upward. Say outward,
outward
and upward. Your healing or miracle could be one shift away from being received. A shift in the portal, the spiritual door, the spiritual gate of your mind or thought life. Isn't that good? The next account is the man at the pool of Bethesda. Quickly, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Ha, komashando brobakashokobaha. I just feel so filled with the Holy Ghost. Just never mind me while I have a little party up here with you all watching. Now, John 5, 1 through 8. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, quickly, that is a sign and a wonder right there, by the way. That's a sign and a wonder. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." Man, this man was focused inward. on self, self-pity. He was feeling sorry for himself that he couldn't get into the pool first. And he made an excuse when Jesus asked him a very simple question, do you want to be made well? He was so full of negativity. His focus was so on the wrong thing that he didn't even answer Jesus's question. Do you notice that? He didn't even answer it right. Do you want to be made well? Yes or no? Yes or no? It's very simple. He didn't answer Jesus' question. Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, because of the guy's wrong focus, ready? There was a spiritual blindness and confusion within the man. Spiritual blindness and spiritual confusion because of this. Simply this, the wrong focus. There was spiritual blindness. Because the portal of his mind was focused on negativity. It was focused on earthly limitations. He was focused on the wrong thing. He was focused inward and not outward and upward. Jesus is good. Say, Jesus is so good. Jesus had compassion on him. And the man received a miracle regardless of his faith level. Now, can that happen to someone today? Sure it can, right? Absolutely. But here's the thing. Don't count on it. You can always be healed by your personal faith and step in that direction. But can God do it without a person's faith level? Absolutely. Now, Acts chapter 10, quickly here. Acts 10, 9 through 19. And this is where Peter received a vision. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. You're probably not going to hear many sermons on trances at churches. Why? Because the New Age made churches and pastors afraid of it. There's a biblical reason for it. The Bible talks about a trance, right? Fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let it down. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air, and a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, eat, kill and eat." But Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." You really got to hear God, right? When God wants to shift something that's against what you believe, what's against your comfort zone, you need to be in tune and hear from the Holy Ghost. Verse 16, this was done three times. It took three times to get through Peter's head here on this one. And the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant. Behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you." All right, now, oh, this is so good. I want you to notice that Peter went to the housetop to pray. Say pray. Pray. He went to the housetop to pray, and that he became very hungry. And so we know then he was in a spiritual mindset because his focus was to pray. But man, he got hungry for that Big Mac. All right. So here's the thing. He was in, ready? A fasted state. Oh, you gotta catch that. He was hungry. He wasn't falling asleep because he ate too much. Listen to this. He was in a fasted state, which made him more spiritually aware and sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He fell into a trance. What's a trance? Basically, just breaking it down, it's a relaxed state of mind that is detached from physical surroundings and distractions. Let me say it again. A trance is a relaxed state of mind that is detached from the natural realm, from distractions. He tuned out distractions, and the Holy Spirit gave him a vision. All right? By the way, one way, if you want to get in that relaxed mode, ready? Prayer. Specifically, praying in tongues. When I prayed in tongues for 5 hours in this building, I was in a trance-like state. I was so relaxed. I was so, it was like all of my spiritual awareness was heightened, very high. I was seeing angelic movement. I was seeing just things. Are you following me? Prayer. Say prayer. So prayer is powerful. All prayer. All kinds of prayer. But I want to encourage you specifically, the gateway to the supernatural is praying in tongues. All right? The conditions were perfect for a supernatural encounter, for a divine appointment. By the way, trance, the word trance, the Greek word translated trance in that word is where we get our English word. You ready? Ecstasy. Say ecstasy. All right? So you can do your own word study on that. That's just a little golden nugget for you there, all right? He was praying. Peter was praying and in a fasted state. So we know then that Peter was focused on God. Come on. And not himself. Do you catch that? His thoughts were outside of him. He wasn't focused on self. He was focused on God. He went up to pray. He was in a fasted state. Those are very important keys. Think about this. Peter made God the center of his thoughts. Peter willingly opened the portal of his mind, the portal, the spiritual door, the spiritual gate of his mind to the Holy Spirit. He tuned in to the frequency of the kingdom of God. Prayer is an invitation to the Holy Spirit to take you deeper into the supernatural, deeper into the realm of the Spirit in the kingdom of God. Now, as Peter was thinking on, as he was meditating on this vision, it said he was thinking on this vision, right? He wasn't thinking on self. He wasn't thinking of how hungry he was anymore. But this vision caught his attention. The vision, he was thinking on that vision from the Lord. And then it says, as he was thinking on the vision, it says, then the Holy Spirit spoke to him. I'm going to submit this to you. If Peter didn't think on the vision, he wouldn't have heard the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he wouldn't have gotten understanding of it. Did you hear what I just said? If he didn't meditate on the vision that the Holy Spirit gave him, he wouldn't have heard the further instructions about that vision. That's why it says to think about and to do warfare with the, come on, prophecies that you've received. Are you following me? Prophecies that were from the Lord. The Lord's telling us, go back, meditate on those prophecies. Think about those visions that he gave you about your future and how he wants to use you. Because as you meditate and focus on those things, he's going to, come on, give you further instructions on how to fulfill those things. So the portal of Peter's mind or thoughts or his focus was on spiritual things connected to the kingdom of God. It allowed Peter to be tuned in to the Holy Spirit, tuned into the kingdom of God, and it activated communication with the Holy Spirit. I said it activated communication with the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. I wish I was young like these kids again. Because if I would have known this stuff, I wouldn't have grown up thinking church was boring. I wouldn't have grown up thinking that being a Christian was absolutely boring. And if you think it's boring, you're in a fleshly mindset. You're focused on the wrong thing. Are you following me? So it's impossible to be spiritually minded. It's impossible to be spiritually minded when you are constantly focused on self and everything in the natural realm around you, all right? By the way, someone needs to hear this. One of the things when I'm looking to get a sermon, when I'm seeking the Lord for a message, let me just give you a little tip. Maybe you guys can try it. Maybe you won't, but here's what I do. I walk around, pray in the Spirit for a long time, and I start to imagine myself flipping through the Bible. All of a sudden, I start imagining, and all of a sudden, I'll think about an account in the Word. I'll think about an account in the New Testament, like I'm flipping through, and my mind is like just flipping through. And all of a sudden, as I'm thinking on an account, the Holy Spirit illuminates something to me about an account that I initiated thinking about. Are you following me?
Yeah.
I'm putting myself in a spiritual mindset, thinking of the Word, and all of a sudden, boom, something gets illuminated to me. And it manifests 10 pages of a sermon. Go to James 4, 1 through 3. That might help someone, whoever's got to write sermons and teachings and all that. Now, James 4, it's just a little technique. See, there's practical things that we can do to hear from the Holy Spirit. There's practical things we can do to activate these things in the spirit realm. Amen? James 4. Many people, many Christians think it's just, oh, it's just untouchable. How do I even get there? What do I do? I like giving practical tips. Amen? I just pass on what the Holy Spirit shows me. So James 4, 1 through 3. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Now, every problem, I thought about this. Every and any problem in any local church or in this world, everything comes from being focused on self. Did you hear me? I want the glory. I want to do this. I want to be seen. I want to be in this spotlight right here. I'm talking in general. In are you following me? Any kind of a church split, any kind of junk that goes on, I guarantee you, you pull back the curtain and you're going to see self and pride and self-centeredness, anything that's against the will of God. Amen? I want you to notice that all the negativity mentioned in these three verses, ready, are from one thing, a focus on self. A focus on self. Now, can you see why the Holy Spirit gave me this message today is a key? There's too much of selves, amen? Your own desires, there's too much of our own desires, our own lusts, wanting things our own way, wanting pleasures for self, being focused on self will hinder your prayers from being answered. You will literally miss the bullseye or the mark in prayer because your heart is focused on your own agenda and not God's will, not God's desire. Now, here we go. The Holy Spirit showed me a little caveat here, something that I never thought about. I always read that and thought, oh, okay, well, you're just not asking for the right thing. The Holy Spirit said, not so fast. Look at this. Ready? He said, sometimes you can ask for the right thing, but with the wrong motive in your heart. Did you hear what I just said? Sometimes it's not, what you're asking for is not wrong. It's that your heart is filthy and it's focused on self and not to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Let me ask you this. How many of you believe that God wants you to be prosperous? That God wants you to have enough money to do the work of the gospel? Everyone would be like, yeah, absolutely, why not? But what if he's seen ahead and he sees that, you know what? If I dump this money on them, their heart's not right right now. And they're going to go off in the ditch. Well, God, I want this job right now. I want this job. What if the Lord's protecting you not getting that job because you're going to go off in the ditch and backslide and go to hell for eternity? Yeah. Sometimes you can ask for the right thing, but you have the wrong motive in your heart, and that will hinder your prayers from being answered. The thing being asked for will be held back. Here's the thing. Get your focus off of self and come back into your prayer closet, ready? And resubmit your request to God. Get your focus off of self and deal with your heart. Get right, get on fire, get in the right spiritual mindset. Go back into the prayer closet and request your submit with the proper heart perspective and motive, and let's see what happens. Again, the portal of your mind, your heart, your thoughts, It's connected to the wrong kingdom. It's the wrong focus and motive, and that is the blockage to your prayers. See, shift the focus of the portal of your mind or your heart or your thoughts to the kingdom of God, and then your request will be granted. God is looking at your heart. He is, listen to this, this is what the Holy Spirit said. He said, I'm not only monitoring what you're asking for, but I'm monitoring why you want it. Did you hear what I just said? I'm not only monitoring what you're asking for, but the why, the motive, the heart condition. Go to John 14. Go to John 14. So God says, you know what? Get your heart right. Get on fire. Start doing work for me, for the Lord. And then that money's going to come in. That provision's going to come in. But in the meantime, I'm going to give it to this minister here who's totally sold out. You following me? John 14, 12 through 15. The Holy Spirit just says, I don't make bad investments. I just literally heard that on this inside. The Holy Spirit doesn't make bad investments. Ooh, glory. That blessed me. If it didn't, yeah, I don't, you know. Here we go. John 14, 12 through 15. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Answered prayer is dependent on asking for things in the name of Jesus. All right? In other words, if the portal of your mind, of your heart, of your thoughts are focused on Jesus, on the Word of God, on the will of God, on the kingdom of God, and if your actions and your character are within, come on, here it goes, how Jesus would act and how Jesus would think, you will ask and you will receive. And all of that is in the context of verse 15. If you loved me, come on, what? Keep my commandments. We are expected to keep Jesus' commandments. Amen? Now listen to this. Listen to me. You got to catch this now. When the manifest presence of God starts to fill a place, your house, a car, in a service, a gathering like this, you have a choice to make. Ready? Will you accept the invitation from the Holy Spirit to enter in? Will you shift your focus on Him? Will you shift the portal of your mind to the kingdom of God at that moment? There are many times when the Holy Spirit is trying to invite us into an encounter with Him. We always talk about us inviting Him, but how many of you know He can invite us as well? He can invite us. Are you even aware it's happening? And what came to my mind is this was in my heart, is Moses and the burning bush is a great example of that. Moses could have ignored that burning bush. He could have kept on moving, but he stopped. He looked, and it was curious. He became aware of it, and he was blessed for accepting that invitation from the Lord. Isn't that something? He was aware. Come on. Are we aware enough when a holy moment's starting to take place in our life? When you're on the couch with that bag of Cheetos, and you feel the tug to turn off the TV, put the bag down, and go pray. The Holy Spirit's trying to invite you and I into that holy moment, that holy encounter. What do? The Holy Spirit will try to knock on the door of your heart, the door of your soul, but will you open that spiritual door? Will you open that spiritual gate? Will you, come on, open the spiritual portal of your mind to Him? Will you set your focus on Him and obey Him? As Christians, we must crucify the fleshly desires daily. Say daily. That war against the kingdom of God, against our born-again spirit. How do you know when you're truly crucifying your flesh as a Christian? You know, it's kind of like a cliche thing. Oh, crucify your flesh, brother. Crucify your flesh, sister. You know, it's kind of one of those Christianese things. Here we go. Ready? How do you know if you're truly crucifying your fleshly desires? Your life stops constantly revolving around you and your own fleshly and worldly agenda. It stops revolving around your fleshly comfort zones, your fleshly feelings, where you're always having to be the center of attention everywhere you go. If you have to announce every good thing you're doing from God, God says this. He goes, that's your reward. Think about it. That's your reward, right? When everything revolves around the heart of God, the word of God, and the kingdom of God, your flesh gets crucified. It's that simple. We must decrease so Jesus can increase. It doesn't work both ways. Both of them, both Jesus and us can't increase. One has to, as one decreases, the other increases. Amen? The word of God is very clear that the purpose of crucifying our fleshly desires is to die to self. Why? So the Holy Spirit can have his way in our life. How many of you want the Holy Spirit to have his way? Amen. We got to die to self. Living a life full of self is a weight. It's an anchor that will keep you docked on the shallow end of the spiritual lake. You will never travel to the deeper waters of the kingdom of God if you're going to be full of self. Now, some say, well, I don't care. I don't care. You know what? I don't want it. I'm fine. I'm fine with just staying at the shallow end. I'm fine with just the basic things about God. That's all I'm here. Okay. All right. I get it. But here's the thing about that attitude. Are you ready for this? This is what the Holy Spirit said. He said, one day you will have to stand before the Lord and give him an account for not focusing on him, for not advancing his kingdom and his will on this earth, for not walking in love and living a very empty, purposeless, unfulfilling, and wasted life on this earth. So you can do whatever you want. People can choose to go to hell if they want. Right? People choose to go to hell. The greatest and most powerful distraction the kingdom of darkness uses to negatively influence us as human beings in general is to get our focus on self and off of God. Quickly go to James 3. Almost done. James 3. James 3, 13. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and do not lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. I want you to notice that this passage mentions self-seeking, not once, come on, but twice. Two times. The Holy Spirit is revealing to us how destructive the distraction of self is in our life. It says, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. In other words, the Lord is saying this, become aware of it. Just admit it and make the needed changes in your life to detach that from the portal of your thought life, of your mind. Think about that. It says that wisdom, that kind of wisdom, self-seeking wisdom and envy that's connected to those things, it says is earthly, sensual, and it even goes on to say demonic. Where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, envy and self-seeking, ready, is a playground for demons in our life. Envy and self-seeking, your own will. Well, that's what the Satanic Bible, one of the verses in it. You know what it is? Do what thou wilt. In other words, forget about the will of God. Do whatever you want. Whatever makes you feel good. That's the Satanic Bible. Now, that should drive home the fact that, I really don't want to be obedient to the Satanic Bible. If that doesn't do it, I don't know how I can help you, honestly, right? Being self-seeking will always create a confusion because we were never created to be that way. We were never wired to be that way. We were wired to be focused on God, our Creator, and to walk in love toward others. Amen? Self-seeking is a complete, listen to me, being self-seeking is a complete disconnection from the kingdom of God. Being self-seeking is a complete, not just a little disconnection. No, not just a little bit off. No, it's a complete disconnection from the kingdom of God. God has nothing to do with that, and He will never have anything to do with that. It should be all about Him in our life. We should never be the center of our life. God should be the center of our life. That's why the Word of God says that our will must align with His will, and that's where the power is. Now, quickly, go with me to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. What did Pastor Solomon always say? And in closing, let me continue on with that tradition. And in closing, friends. With 5 more pages left. No, I'm just kidding. I'm almost done. Philippians 2, 1 through 4. You getting anything out of this today?
Yes.
Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done, underline it, through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Now listen to this. That word conceit is very interesting. Ready? Here's what it means. Conceit is defined as this. Excessive pride in oneself. Excessive pride in oneself. In other words, you think of yourself too highly. You think you're a legend in your own mind. You're all that in a bag of Cheetos. We are commanded to have lowliness of mind or a mindset of esteeming others better than ourselves. We're to make others feel more important than us. If you're going to hang out with people, make them the center of it, of your conversation. Make them feel good. Amen? Be kind. Make them feel special. You will never go wrong by maintaining humility in your heart and lifting others higher than yourself. Jesus never gave in to the distraction of self. He was always looking out for others, and he was willing to be a blessing to mankind because of his lowliness of mind. Come on, and humility. He was open to the will of God. I'm on the last page, and I'm out of here. Humility and lowliness of mind will always lead or direct you to power, the power of God in your life. It will always lead to obedience to God's word in your life. Now, here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, you still need to desire for the power of the Holy Spirit. You still need to desire, ask, and desire for the supernatural in your life. Because how many of you know, there's a lot of humble Christians out there. There's a lot of humble Christians. They have lowliness of mind that lift others up, but they don't believe in the power of God. You still got to go after and pursue the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So we need to constantly be aware of and don't get caught up any longer in the demonic trap of the distraction of self in our life. Every wrong move, every problem in our life, every bondage in our life can be traced back to one common thread, and it's simply this, the love of self. Church, the Holy Spirit wanted me to get this message across to all of you today. Focusing on self is a distraction that will keep you out of the will of God. Focusing on self is a distraction that will prevent you from tapping into the ability, the anointing, and the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. So shift the portal, the spiritual door, the spiritual gate back on God. Back on his written word, back on the belief that all things are possible with him. If we will do that, we will experience the deeper things of the kingdom of God like never before. Miracles, signs, and wonders, and we will see what the world calls impossible. Come on, come to pass in our life and corporately. Let's stand up in this place. The distraction of self. Prayer team, come on forward. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
I heard him loud and clear. Hallelujah. Now, if there's anyone in this place, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, you're on the outside looking in, you're on your way to hell. You take your last breath, it's over for eternity. Don't, even if you're unsure right now, well, I think I'm saving up. No, just come forward to one of the prayer team members and say, I want to make sure, I want to know that Jesus is the Lord of my life and that I'm going to go to heaven when I take my last breath on this earth. Now, maybe this message, maybe you're in here, you're backslidden. You've fallen away from God. You know it. And today, it kind of really smacked you right in the face, right in your heart. And you want to recommit your life to God. Maybe, maybe just this message, you realize, wow, you know what? I have been living mostly for myself. But today, I'm willing to lay that down. I'm willing to crucify my flesh. I'm willing to take up the cause of God, the will of God in my life. If that's you, come forward. If you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism and spoken other tongues, you don't know anything about the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down. They will pray with you to receive. And it's not optional. You need it. Do you need the Holy Spirit baptism to go to heaven? No. But do you need it so you don't get your tail kicked by the enemy? Yes. Do you need it to be a powerful witness for Jesus? Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, if that doesn't matter to you, you're still too full of yourself. Okay, now, if you need prayer for anything else, come on down. They'll hang with you and minister to you today. So, everyone, have a great week. Marianne and I were heading to Midland for the night. She has a Register of Deeds conference, so we're going to hang out in Midland for the night. So, if you need me, you know where to find me. If I don't answer in 2 minutes, just wait longer.